Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sun Guy with you today on another Sunday. Some quick show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling today, you can find it in Jeffersonville, Indiana for KDW, and in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar, where I will be later this afternoon in the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. And fortunately, our scheduled guest, Annie Wraith, not able to join us at the last minute, but in her stead, we have with us the aspiring referee out of the Pacific Northwest, the Sage of Truth. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. This was awesome. Granted, I'm nowhere near as cool as Annie Wraith or as hot, but, you know, proud to be here.
She at one time one of the best referees in the Pacific Northwest as well, so you have that aspiration going as well. You got a lot to live up to there to get up to Annie Wraith level, I think.
You know, I got given credit where credit's due. When you talk about somebody like Annie Wraith, you're talking about somebody who has that drive and motivation simply just to be the best. And I got nothing but respect for her. You know, when I first came out here to the Pacific Northwest and I seen her and her husband in action, and it was just a sight to see. I mean, it was just fun and awesome at all at the same time. So hopefully everything is going all right with her. And I'm sure she'll be on this show soon enough to let y'all know some exciting stuff that I'm sure she got going on.
Absolutely, working on
her. I'm not even speaking for her. That's just me. Oh, you better get the heck up out of the way. Sorry, folks. I'm kind of on the road right now. I got road rage.
High road commentary always welcome on this program.
Yes.
Now, Sage, like we said, you got into the refereeing aspect of this business. What led you to decide to want to throw on some stripes and get in the squared circle yourself?
Hello?
Sage, I was asking, what led you to make the decision to throw on stripes and get into the ring yourself? Oh, he dropped the call, QT.
Oh, no. Well, I am familiar with road travel and drop calls myself, Sign Guy. I'm just glad that I wasn't on the phone yesterday as I transversed the Tiger Mountain summits, both east and west, going to Ellensburg for a track and field meet.
I believe we got Sage back. Sage, are you with us?
Oh, okay. Hello?
Are you back with us, Sage?
Yeah, I'm back. Not sure
all
what
right.
happened there. Apologies about that, folks.
Dangers
oh, okay.
of road travel.
Yeah.
Now, I was
yeah.
asking, what led you to make the decision to throw on some stripes and get in the squared circle and officiate professional wrestling?
Man, to be honest with you, while that was the idea was always in the back of my head, but it wasn't necessarily my decision. I was actually, the way the story goes, I was actually asked to do it. And it was Cinco de Mayo of 2015. You know, I'm back off deployment. I'm back off deployment and, you know, wanting to do something. And I get this Facebook message that, hey, would you like to be a guest referee? I'm like, okay, sweet deal. You know, over there with SCW. So, you know, put on that referee shirt, and I was ready to go. I was excited about it. Ended up doing 10 matches that day. And it was the most fun I have had in a long time. Oh, my goodness. And the folks who had to officiate for, you know, Chief Atakakula, my goodness, it was nothing short than an honor. I mean, I felt like I was a kid at a candy store. This was just awesome. Here I am in what I like to call the sacred square circle, you know, doing things as a referee. Of course, you know, officiating one of who I like to call the psychotic Doc Fula. My goodness, he tossed me over the rope after there was an executive decision made. But even that was awesome. I mean, it was just a great time. And ever since then, it was like, okay, you know what? This is cool. Let me keep doing it. Now I need to do a whole lot more of it because, you know, life happens, but, you know, it's just a whole lot of fun.
Being pretty new to the refereeing aspect of things, what's the one biggest thing that you think you didn't understand about refereeing wrestling that you've realize so far?
Knowing when to step in. And what I mean by that, you know, as a referee, you know, and, you know, you're more than welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, because, I mean, you're one of the finest referees in the Pacific Northwest, sign guy. But, you know, as a referee, you're supposed to, you know, you're the one with the authority in that ring. You are to make sure that folks play by the rules, as it were. And but at the same time, you have to understand that it's not that, even though that's what you're supposed to do, it's not about you. It's about letting the wrestlers tell their story. And so really trying to figure out that balance of when and when not to step in, that was and still, you know, like what was said earlier, it comes with experience, and Lord knows I'm still working on that part. But yeah, that would be my thing.
Now, so far in the matches you've officiated, who would you say gives you the hardest time at maintaining order? Who's the wildest guy that you've been in the ring with thus far?
Oh, geez. Now that's a tough one because they're all pretty wild, you know. I've had the privilege to be in the ring with folks like Sideshow. Oh my gosh. Sideshow and his tag team partner. I mean, you have to forgive me because a lot of names escapes me, but you know, you don't know what they are going to do next. you just don't know. And you know, you're dealing with these characters in the ring, and because you don't know, there's always that. You know, you've seen the video. You probably see me kind of cringe a little bit because I'm like, okay, what are they going to do now? So I would have to say Shia Cho's tag team by far.
I would definitely agree with that. Sideshow can be very difficult in there.
I mean, he's a scary clown. He's a scary clown. Now, there were, you know, many folks that is an understandable phobia. You know, not too many people are keen with clowns. But then you got somebody like Sideshow who, you know, I've seen different variations of Sideshow. You just don't know.
He's very unpredictable. Now, in wrestling, I'm sure you've watched for a long time and you've seen a lot of different referees Do you have a few that you try to study and emulate their style into what you're doing?
Actually I do. And there's actually some of the more, I guess you would say, bigger name referees, no disrespect to any of the others. But as soon as I was asked to be a referee the first time, I turned on old Attitude Era matches and was watching Earl Hefner. Earl Hefner probably is one of my favorite referees of all time. And so, and that's because a lot of those big matches, you can't name many big matches, especially of the Attitude Era, and the over there at the corporation, without his name being mentioned, being a part of those matches. So, I have to say him, and so that would be number one. Number two. You know, as far as one particular referee who I know closely, and I'm not blowing smoke up your butt or anything like that, but it's my understanding that you, Sign Guy, you're one of the only guys out here in the Pacific Northwest who's fully legitimate. Now, with that said, as far as how to handle business and whatnot, you know, that's where I'm working towards. You know. So yeah, as far as it goes, you know, in regards to bigger name, the Earl Hefner, and underneath there, that's you, man.
I greatly appreciate that, and by default, that would mean you're a big fan of Jason Ayers because he showed me how to do everything I do in there.
Yeah, that's true. that's true. So you know, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, I like to have an appreciation for many folks who has gone before me to do this sort of thing. And right now in the Pacific Northwest, you know, doesn't matter what anybody may think of you or whatever may think of you, man, you're the man who's out there doing it. And so with that said, hey, my hat's off to you. It's if I can't be like you, then I got to be better, you know. So I look at your example in order to be better.
Well, at this time, QT is with us, and I know he's probably got a couple of questions, so I'll pass things to QT for a bit.
Sweet deal.
Well, thank you,
Sean
Guy. Hello, Sage.
What's good?
Hey, so where are you on the road? I myself am near Fort Lewis, and I have, in my travels up and down I-5, I frequently have to stop and do the radio show. Can we ask your location?
Well, thankfully, I finally just made it home, so I don't have to worry about being on the road. I just left church. Yep, I'm the God-fearing nerd, say the truth. So you know, I gotta get that word. You know, anybody else spend their Sundays however they want to. That's just how I spend mine. And yeah, so hopefully y'all are able to hear me just a little clearer now that I'm at home, right?
Oh yes,
don't
I
have
can
to worry about a drop
good.
Call. And
very
Fort
nice,
Lewis, I got
to
be there next week.
Oh, now you said that's one thing I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned earlier, right at the beginning of the show, that you had come off deployment and was asked to do a referee show. Were you in the Navy?
Technically, I'm still in Navy. These days, my time in service is reserve, no longer active duty, which is quite unfortunate, but, you know, life happens.
Oh, okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners when you went through boot camp?
I went through boot camp nearly 10 years ago. So,
oh,
yeah,
10
I've been...
years ago.
Yeah, if you see my pictures and everything, folks like to say, like to believe I look young, but you know, black don't crack. but with that said, I've been proudly in the service, both active and reserve, for nearly come November of 2016, it'll be 10 years, and man, I tell you, it's one of those things that I can really look at on things I've done in my past and I'm still doing, and man, it's just there is a certain level of pride that I get from the things that I've been able to do by the grace of God.
Wow. Well, we at Turnbuckle Turmoil would like to congratulate you for your service. I myself put in 20 years in the Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard.
yes.
you know, military service, we always rag on each other. We especially rag on the Coast Guard. But nevertheless, still a man in uniform who served this country. So I tip my hat off to you and thank you for your service as well.
Oh, okay. Now, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the Navy calls Coast Guard sailors?
Huh? Well, Coast Guard, I mean, you're gonna get me in trouble here. First of all, let me explain this. When it comes to each branch of the military ragging on each other, I like to think of it as like maybe a college or high school rivalry. You know, the bottom line is we are all still one team, but there's many different names that folks give Coast Guard. There's many different names that folks give the Navy, and so on and so forth. Don't even want to dwell into all that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll go with a rather benign, shallow water sailors. Yes.
You know what? Truth be told, I can't even say that. So, real quick story. I'm over in Yokosuka, Japan. This is about 2006. Okay. You know, well, I'm on a destroyer class. This thing is huge. We see this little boat, probably about the size of maybe a local gas station. I mean, when it's time to shift colors, you don't use a 1MC so everybody can hear you. The CO, only thing he had to do was just raise his voice just a little bit. This is Yokosuka, Japan. How did they get this little sailboat from America to Japan? To me, it made no sense. I would not want to be caught on that thing. So, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due. But at the same time, I will say when Coast Guard is ready to play, when they're ready to play Navy, they put on Navy uniforms. I'm just saying.
Well, I got to tell you, now we have a class of ship I sailed on that was called the 378 High Endurance Cutters. There were 10 of them, and most of them are now decommissioned. I think
I would imagine three
left in service. Yes. And they were 378 foot in length, so they're a little bit short, or about the same size as your naval frigate.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then now we have upgraded to replace these high endurance cutters with a new type of ship that's about 407 foot in length, so a little bit bigger. Yes.
Yeah, just a little bit, but you know. That's funny. But I mean, hey, so long as it serves the purpose of the mission. I will tell you this. My beef with the Coast Guard has always been because their bases tend to be better than many of the Navy bases that I've been to. There's a Coast Guard base out in Alameda where y'all practically have a whole island to yourself. And man, it is really nice over there. It really is. I'm like, man, ain't this some bull?
Yes,
so,
I was stationed at that base in Alameda on a high endurance cutter. Yes.
Yep. Beautiful base. Really beautiful base.
Now, in your opinion, are the Air Force bases the best?
Most of them are huge, but for obvious reasons. But I've already said which bases are the best, and that's Coast Guard. As far as food goes, the first time I had really good eggs in over six, seven months when I was out on deployment was on the Air Force base. So I got to say they have the best food.
Oh, okay. Well, now seeing that you were on the destroyer, I'm sure that you had your share of powdered eggs.
Most definitely. Matter of fact, my last deployment, I wasn't on the ship. I was actually boots on the ground over in Afghanistan, And yeah, plenty of MREs, powdered eggs over there as well. And it wasn't until we went over to, what was it, Kandahar. Every base tend to have a nickname. But it wasn't until I got to Kandahar when I had real eggs over there. That was nice. That was really nice.
Oh, all right. Well, has any Northwest wrestler thrown powdered eggs into your eyes as a foreign object?
Thankfully, no. So far, I've only took maybe I can still count on my hands how many bumps that I've taken thus far. Hopefully, nobody takes that as a challenge. I mean, when these gigantic guys hit the ring, and they're slamming each other, I'm flying up. You know, those, and trust me, to those who aren't really familiar with how a wrestling ring is made, those are nowhere near trampolines. I mean, that you got some serious hardwood and steel on there. And when these guys hit, I am flying up. It's crazy. But then again, I'm a real light person. You know, I'm only 180 something soaking wet.
Well, now talk about high impacts. Some guy often tells me about the time when Mickey Knuckles hit him, knocked him for a loop. What's the hardest you have ever been hit by a female wrestler?
You said by a female wrestler?
Yes.
Well, so far I haven't been hit by a female wrestler. Like I said, I'm still brand new to it, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of time. but hopefully that won't happen. I'm getting ready to get married here soon, and I wouldn't want my wife thinking she can jump up in there.
Oh, now is your wife a big wrestling fan?
Not as much anymore. My goal is to try to reintroduce her into it, but not with the stuff that folks see on TV. I want her to get that live action experience that you can only get in places like the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, I just did that. But I want to introduce her to what I call real wrestling, where you're not dealing with much politics. It's fun. It's in your face. And it's off the chain. That's the type of stuff that's the type of wrestling that I remember that I want to reintroduce her to. And that's the only type of stuff that you'll only see live in person. You don't really get all that unless it's a special event at some of these gigantic companies.
Well, now with all marriages, do you hope to, when you have children, do you hope to build a backyard ring for them made out of foam, rubber, and plywood?
When I was younger, Daddy took me over to one of his friend's places out in California where they actually had a boxing ring set up, and I mean a legitimate boxing ring. And so it's always been my aspiration to do the same thing, except not a boxing ring. This thing would be a full class wrestling ring. This would be my man cave, a full wrestling ring. You know, pictures of certain wrestlers who I like, both from the company and independent, because you know you got to support your independent wrestling. I'm big on that. I've actually, since I've been living in Washington, I've been collecting shirts from different wrestlers who I've met and that actually sell shirts. And it's in my intention to actually have them framed up and have them posted. One of these days I'll post that online. And so, you know, it's that sort of excitement, is that sort of stuff that has inspired me. And I do look forward to the day I can be able to share that with my kids.
Wow, well said. Okay, very, very good. All right.
Well, I mean, it's just something I've always been passionate about. You know, growing up, there was a time that I used to get picked on a lot, and my outlet was, and the thing was, I was a very weird kid growing up, you know. But my outlet was wrestling. You know, I would sit down in front of the TV, and that's what I watch. And you know, one of my favorite wrestlers, The big red machine Kane. You know, watching Kane of all folks was the reason why I learned to myself that, you know what, it's okay to be different. And if folks don't like it, well, forget about them. You do what you got to do. Even if that means setting things ablaze in your way. Now, from a figurative standpoint, not a literal. If it was a literal standpoint, I probably wouldn't be on this broadcast right now. But you know, these are things that I use to inspire me. Go ahead with your question. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Now, you mentioned that you had just been to church today. Were you a big fan of Brother Love?
Of Brother Love? No.
Oh.
No, not even a little bit. The only thing that I give credit to Brother Love was the fact that he was my other favorite wrestler's manager for a short time. the character Brother Love, I didn't like him as a person. I don't know him, but I'm only talking in reference to the character. There are so many guys who emulate that character Brother Love out here in many of these so-called churches. It upsets me. it upsets me, and that's, you know, some of the things that I've been dealing with as of late. But that's a whole nother topic.
Oh, all right. I'm going to guess one of your more favorite managing persons was Slick Nick Bockwinkel.
I respect him, but that was not my favorite one.
Oh, okay.
Instead of leaving you in suspense, I will absolutely tell you who my favorite manager is. Oh, yeah! Paul Bearer. I love that dude.
Oh, okay.
Love that guy, Paul Bearer. May the Lord rest his soul. But yeah, he was absolutely my favorite. Thing is, aside from wrestling, I'm a big Godzilla fan. I'm into monsters in general, and you know, this dude took on the name as the father of destruction. So, you know, Paul Bearer right there sparked my imagination, you know, kept my attention, and you know, to me, will I say he was the best manager of all time? No, but was he my favorite? Yes, best manager of all time, in my personal opinion, is Paul Heyman.
Oh, now, very good choice.
Now, I know there's and you know, that was a tough decision to make, because you got folks like, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mr. Fuji, and that's just naming a couple. There's many of them who I have not named that has been all over the place, from the territory days to WCW. There's so many names. But in this day and age, where especially over at the company, when there's hardly any managers these days, Paul Heyman has stood the test of time. And for that, I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, the question was earlier, what made me want to be a referee? In all honesty, as much as I want to be a referee, even more so did I want to be a manager. You know, there were certain wrestlers who I talked to, whose name I will not mention because I haven't spoke to him in a while, so I don't know if it's cool or not. But, I mean, this gigantic of a man turned around and told me, hey, whenever you're ready, get that license and we'll talk. And if he is listening to the show, hey, once this wedding is said and done, we'll talk. I'm not gonna put anybody out there. I'm not gonna put anybody out there with any surprises. But you know,
okay.
You know, I'm just gonna throw it out there. There's so much. It is such a great time right now, at least for me personally. And oh Lord, my fiance is on the other line, but. At least for me, because there's so many things out there that's in the works, and this is to anybody who may be looking for a little bit of inspiration on this Sunday, because let's call it for what it is. This has been a hard week, hard couple of weeks for a lot of wrestling fans, to be sure. And I'm gonna tell you, when it comes down to it, whatever dream you have, whatever it is that you want to aspire to, you are really your own worst enemy. You are really the only person that's stopping you from getting it. Because no matter what it is that you want, you got to step out there and just do it. not to take from Nike, but it is what it is. real quick, and I know I'm kind of I know I'm going on a tangent here, but one of my favorite story arcs in the company had to deal with a name that no that apparently not many people like to mention, but I'm gonna say it, Chris Benoit. There was a storyline in which he had won the Royal Rumble, and he wanted that World Heavyweight Championship. You know, over 12 years to that point, he has been in the business, always been pretty much a mid-carder. And I loved how Ric Flair got into his face and brought that to his face. You know, Ric Flair. I love the reason why he how he did that, because it reminded me of certain people when I was coming up, because I said I wanted to get into this wrestling business any way, shape, or form. I wanted to get into it, and there were so many people who would tell me, "You're too small. You know, you're slow. They would always talk mess about me and keep throwing my flaws in my face." But those very same flaws that they kept throwing in my face, that Ric Flair threw in Chris Benoit's face at the time, they had their match. So Chris Benoit can prove himself, cripple across face, done deal. And then you had Shawn Michaels, who was technically always in the picture. He's like, "Look, this thing that's going on between myself and Triple H, this is bigger than you. Go to SmackDown. Do what you want to do over there." You know, folks, you get folks in your life who try to tell you what you should be, when you already know what your destiny has been set up to be. You get folks who say, "Oh, that's not right," for whatever reason that they have. He didn't let that deter him. Oh, I'm not finished yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm almost done here. He didn't let that deter him. He went ahead onto that big stage, and even with those two giants of superstars, he still got that prize. And very much so, what I'm trying to do in my life is despite what folks have said, what folks have thrown in my way, is to get that prize. Now, earlier you had you had mentioned that Annie Raitis was supposed to have been your guest. I want to say this about her. You know, while I don't know her personally, you know, people talk, and I got to tell you, that's what Anne Raitis reminds me of. Folks have thrown many things in her direction, have said what they want to say, but this woman is still getting up, busting her butt to be as best as she can. So that's why I respect her so much, and that's why I have many respect for many different people that's in this business. So okay, I spoke my sermon. You go ahead.
Well, I agree with you there. I have been researching Annie, and she's been working out like a fiend, and she sticks to her workouts. It's part of her life.
She's a beast
even when she's exhausted. And she's also, you know, she's a very smart person. She's got a cosmetology degree. Yes. So.
Oh, good. Well, if I draw my fro, she can help me out with that. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. You mentioned Paul Bearer. Did you know that he was also enlisted in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi?
Yes, I did. I did know that, and I don't hold it against him that he was in the Air Force. No, I'm just joking. No. But I did know that he was in the Air Force. You know, certain folks who I tend to call my favorites. You know, I do a little bit of research on them, and sadly, I have a sad story, and that is the fact that originally I did a show called Sage's Square Circle, which I have every intention on bringing back, but working on this marriage, I got a certain things have to be put on back burner, and that show was one of them. The day I went to go to I was watching the podcast where he said, "Hey, whatever show folks is doing out there, you want me on it, just let me know, send me an email." I'm like, sweet deal. I type up this email. It wasn't long, but it was very professional. I go to hit that send button, and it was at that very hour. Looked up on Twitter when I found out that he had passed away. Oh man, that sucks. Yeah, that hurt. That one hurt.
Wow, tragic. Yes, boy. All right. Well, Now, you mentioned a sideshow. Has he ever tried to grab your nose so he can put it on his necklace?
Thankfully, no.
Oh, okay. Now, has Bob Hardy ever made Northwest Wrestling fan Bob Hardy, has he ever tried to make cat calls about your refereeing duties?
Wait, say that again? I'm sorry.
Have you ever received any cat calls from Bob Hardy, famous Northwest Wrestling fan?
You have to forgive me because I'm a little crazy, but we definitely did have a talk, you know. And you know, one thing I will say this. Hopefully, this is something that many other wrestlers got from me, is that I am always available for correction. I wouldn't care if I had just got started or if I've been in for 20 plus years, which I obviously haven't been. But no matter what it is, I am always available for some sort of correction to make the craft to make the craft better. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you know, as a referee, from what I've learned, it's not about me. It's about the story that they're trying to tell. You know, I'm just catalyst. You know, I'm just those descriptive words that's used in the book. You know, and
wow.
and as a referee's job, you know, is to make sure, you know, a referee can easily make or break a match. I've seen it happen, and Lord knows I don't want to be that guy who calls us that.
Oh, all right. Well said. Yeah. Well, I have heard that from other referees too. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, now on that destroy, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your naval rate is?
I am a proud boatswain mate, meaning, and boatswain mate simply means keeper of the ship. I deal with upkeep. I deal with man overboards. I steer the ship. And so much more. We'll be on that for a couple of hours if I got into all that mess.
Oh, all right. Well, do you think Defola Debashi would make a good quartermaster because he charts his way to success? Wow.
I will say this. He is probably as crazy as I believe he is. And I'm talking about as far as being in ring. I'm not talking about him as a person. When I use the word crazy, it's always that's typically a good thing, even if it does make me cringe. But as crazy and passionate as he is, if he put his mind to anything, or excuse me, not if, when he puts his mind to anything, that's gold. That's straight up gold. So to say that he'll make a quartermaster, nah, that man will make a great officer.
Oh, wow. All right. Officer. Very good. Okay. All right. I'm going to agree with you there.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, when I think of Divacci, I think of somebody who is passionate about his craft. You know, in this case, we're talking about wrestling. Don't even let me get started to how he refers to his family. I mean, this man has a passion that many folks should aspire to have for themselves. You know, every time when I first saw him, he went up against and I'm going to butcher this gentleman's name, but Atchison in like a camel rope match over at BCW.
Oh, okay.
That match was amazing. Simply amazing. That's when I first saw him, and that's why I always call him crazy. But I mean, with that said, that same level of passion that I saw in that match from both men, for sure, but we're talking about Daifuga right now, you know, I've seen it in every other match he's done. From BCW, SCW, from the recently departed HPG Pro. I mean, the man, everything that he does, he put passion into it, and I got nothing but respect for that. got nothing but respect for that. And like I said, that sort of passion, there's plenty of others who can aspire to. And the thing is, he isn't so high and mighty to not want to be able to share his knowledge with other people, you know. And granted, I don't know him personally, but these are just the things that I've seen. And with that, I got nothing but respect for him.
All right. Well, how do you think Defola Dabashi could do if he was in the Navy and underwent a shellback initiation?
You don't want to be a part of that shellback initiation. Good Lord. So for those who don't know, let me explain what shellback initiation is. When you cross in the Navy on a ship, there's certain lines that are crossed. There's the equator, the Arctic line, or whatnot. And the Navy is really big on tradition. And so what happens is when you cross these lines, those who have crossed it before, they have a little old card and a big old poster, and it's just let you know that they are a shellback. I mean, this thing may as well be a fraternity, which I can say that I am proudly a part of. Now when you cross this. Huh? Go ahead.
Now, is it the 180th meridian that you cross that makes you a shellback, or is it the equator?
Equator. There's different names for each one. I'm not necessarily familiar with the other ones because I don't like the cold. when you cross the equator, there's this huge ceremony where all of these wogs, nasty, filthy wogs, have to plead their case with King Neptune to be a shellback. No one ever is pardoned from the trials and tribulations. I'm not going to get too much into the trial and tribulations because, quite frankly, I'm not sure who's on here aspiring to be in the Navy, and I don't want to scare those nasty polywogs off. but let's just say you are put through some work, man. You are put through some work. crawling on certain places on Nonskid, eating out of strange places. I will say this: for the first time, I did have green eggs and ham. Or should I say green overcooked eggs and ham?
Oh,
it can get pretty wild. It can get pretty crazy, but at the end of the day, it's something that you can really look back on and be proud of. It's just a lot of fun, a lot of work. I'm gonna tell you, when it comes to the Navy, you know, I had a wonderful opportunity to work alongside with the Army, had a wonderful opportunity to work with the Marines, especially with this last deployment. And I'm gonna tell you one thing that we all have in common: you work hard and you play even harder.
Wow. All right. Do you have any plans to bring your honorary shellback initiation certificate to a wrestling event?
Every time I have my little old wallet on me, I have a smaller card. I have a little old small card that I always keep with me that commemorates that day. So what I'm saying is I bring it with me every time.
Oh, all right. Well, will you be able to show Sign Guy this certificate in your wallet when you next meet him?
Absolutely. I'll show it to him.
Oh, okay. All right, fantastic. All right. Well, at this time, it was good talking with you. Thank you for your service. And I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
No worries. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, QT. Well, Sage, we got just a little bit of time here. Got to get headed down to NWA Blue Collar. But I want to give
you some time
if there's anything at all that you would like to say to the listeners today and plug and promote anything and everything that you would like. The floor is all yours.
Well, I appreciate that. Currently, the main thing that I've been doing as of lately is what's on a station known as The Truth About Church. You can check us out at thetruthaboutchurch.com. We are constantly doing different recordings as well as broadcasts And what we're doing there is there's a lot of corruption or whatnot that's going on in the majority of churches. That's just no big secret. And what we're doing is we are trying to let folks know that, hey, there's a better way out there. There are folks who are actually trying to show what it means to be Christian. And we're teaching things the way it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be taught. So once again, that is thetruthaboutchurch.com. And I want to also put this out to the loved ones, to friends, and to family of who our fans know as China. I want to let you know you are all in my thoughts and prayers. One gone straight, well too soon. And if there's anything from this that, you know, that has been highlighted to me, is that don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't find if you find yourself in a position where you just feel alone, man, reach out to somebody. Because I promise you this, somebody out there loves you. And to anybody, the thing is, we all have somebody who is like China that's in our lives. Somebody who may not know just how loved they are. So, folks, take this time, hug your family members, hug your friends, hug your neighbor. You know, we have to remember, in this life, we humans, we are all we got. So with that said, God bless y'all. And you'll be seeing a whole lot more of God fearing nerds, Sage Truth.
Well, Sage, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on here. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to keeping tabs on your progress as a referee. You're doing a fine job so far.
Well, coming from you, that really means a lot, man. That really means a lot. And I will be asking you for more advice as things goes on. I'm hoping I didn't upset anybody with them hearing what I said, but you know, things happen. I do hope everybody stays encouraged and hey, support your independent wrestling people. Support it.
Absolutely. Sage, thank you again for being on today. Great having you as always. And fans, get out there, like Sage said, support your local independent professional wrestling. Find a show near you. Go check it out. We will be back with you next Friday afternoon. We got Draven Vargas out of the Pacific Northwest on the show. Should be an outstanding time with him. So we will talk to you next week.